Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I'm saved by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now what? Our epistle lesson for today is the whole last chapter of the book of James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, and he addresses this question, now what? Scholars, if you read biblical scholars, I know you all read a lot of biblical scholars during the week. Some of, if you do, you'll discover that some of them say the book of James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament. There's all these sayings and advice, good sayings and advice, instructions from the Lord. Do this, don't do that. So how do you tie it all together? So if you look at your bulletin today, you heard today a warning to the rich not to cheat their workers, an encouragement for patience in suffering, an admonition against swearing, an exhortation to pray, and a promise about bringing someone back who wanders from the truth. Did I miss any? So, how do you tie all of these things together? And what ties them together is the ending. It's not the ending of the book. It's not the ending of the letter. It's our ending, your ending, and my ending, where we end up in Christ. Christ is the end of the law. He's both the goal of the law and the purpose of the law and the fulfillment of the law. And all of these instructions are law. What ties them together is the ending that we have in Christ. And then the whole point of what James is writing to you about is we've got this ending. We're going to be raised from the dead to live eternally with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth, as Isaiah puts it. All the stuff that we live through between now and then, all of that stuff from now until the end depend on the ending. And how we live between now and then depends on how we understand that ending. So what does this mean? It means that we live our faith in Christ in the context of our vocations and the stations in life that God puts us between now and then. So if this is us now, okay, if this is where we are now, and this is our ending, and we've got this place and this place and this place all to be, and this to do and that to do, this relationship with others and that relationship with others, relationship in your work as a, in my case, as a pastor, relationship with your family, with your husband or your wife, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your brothers and sisters, your relationship with your children. All of those things are vocations. God has placed you there in all those for a purpose. Okay? So that you can live your life in faith until the ending which you have in Christ. And the point of this sermon, the point of the book of James, the point of the New Testament, as God gives instructions to you, is to live your life in the meantime in the light of the ending that you have in Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Well, if you listen to the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading today, sometimes that means that if there's a good thing that's going on for the right reasons, mind your own business and don't try to stop it. Mind your own beeswax in that case. In the Old Testament reading, Moses tells Joshua, stop complaining. Stop complaining about Eldad and Medad who are out there prophesying in the camp. Don't be jealous of me. Don't be jealous of God's word. Let them do it. It's a good thing. Don't stop that. In the Gospel of Mark, our reading today, Jesus tells the disciples, stop complaining about those other people who are out there casting out demons in my name. That's a good thing. Let them do it. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what other people are doing that, and, oh, they're not quite doing it right. They're doing the right thing. Let them alone. Get out of the way. Secondly, importantly, don't lead someone else to sin. Boy, I don't know how you could make it any clearer than Jesus does in the gospel today. Whoever causes one of these little ones, he's there holding a little child. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. When I was in Israel, we saw some of these great millstones that they used to grind grain. Hang that around your neck, throw them in the sea, because better for him to end that way. The end that Jesus talks about in the gospel, he doesn't mince words about it. He says, you got two choices. There's two places that you could go. One is the kingdom of heaven, and the other is hell. H-E-double-L. Gehenna in Greek. And then in case you missed it, in case you don't know what he's talking about, he refers to the very last chapter of Isaiah, and he says about hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's what hell's going to be like, or is like. So, don't be a source of temptation and sin for other people. And then Jesus says, and watch yourself, because you can cause yourself to sin. Temptations abound, and it's not worth it, this fleeting pleasure, when you have eternity at stake. So watch out what causes you to sin. Stay away from it. And don't cause other people to sin. What does that mean for us? Well, it might mean modesty in what you wear. That's one of these vocations. It's one of your stations in life. Here's another one. Courtesy in what you say. How about self-control in what you do and self-control in what you think about? The reason that you do that, is because you know what the ending is. You have another thing coming. The end that Christ has won for you, the end that Jesus Christ has won for you with his death and his resurrection, is a new end when Christ returns. And it's this. It's not death and hell and eternal punishment. It is the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. That's the difference. Your new end is not this, but this. Your new end is your new hope in Christ, and that should change how you live your life in the meantime. It should shape it. Live your life in that baptismal identity of what God has in store for you. You may have heard the saying, the end justifies the means. Too many people in our world today live like the end justifies the means. And it shows up in immoral behavior. And it shows up in amoral behavior. It shows up when people just do anything to get what they want. The end that they want. This is what I want above all else, and I'll do anything to get there. I'll say anything. I'll lie about anything to achieve the result that I want. No matter who else gets hurt. That's living over here. That's living where your end is death and damnation. That's wrong. But James, in his letter, might well have written a phrase like this. The end justifies the means, but he offers a totally different understanding of that phrase. James would say that the end that Jesus has given us sanctifies the means of getting there. It justifies and makes holy all of your life from now until then. It shapes your life from now until then. And then he gives us five reasons today, or five pieces of instruction about how to live that specifically. Listen to this, though. Our goal, our end, doesn't depend on doing all of those five things. Our goal, our end, depends on Christ, who's already achieved it. Your end is determined already by Christ, by what he's done for you. Our end is Christ's ending. Our ending is justified in Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we can do between now and then to justify ourselves. So he says, in the meantime, with this end in mind, live accordingly by faith. That's the means. Be sanctified by knowing what God is doing in you and through you. This is what ties together all of these things that seem so disconnected in the book of James. They're all connected by faith, living faith in Christ Jesus. If you've been listening to the epistle lessons that we've had, this is the end of James, okay? We've had James. James 2, he says, my brothers, show no partiality. How? As you hold the faith. As you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There it encapsulates, as you hold the faith in Jesus Christ, in the meantime, don't show partiality between yourselves. In James 3, he talks about how a lying, uncontrolled tongue, what does he say? Sets things on fire. That's over here. Listen to how he says it. He says, how a lying, uncontrolled tongue sets on things on fire. The whole body, the entire course of life, set on fire by hell. It's like you're on fire already, and you're living that out between now and then by the fire that's on your tongue when you lie and deceive and slander each other. You're living your end already before you even get there. In James 4, he urges those who wait for a different end, a new end, to do what? To be patient. He says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is the end. Between now and then, be patient. You don't know how soon that's going to come. So in our text today, he proceeds to give us five ways to tell us how to do that. First, he says, pray. Pray. Between now and then, pray. Pray. Live in your new hope. Live in your faith by praying. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray daily. Pray at all times. Pray fervently. Pray faithfully. Pray expecting the Lord to answer. That's this. And the Lord will answer. He says, pray for a sick person. They will be raised. That's this. That's the new end. He says, assist your brother or sister who's a wandering sinner. Go and bring him back and save his soul from death. Save the wandering sinner from the end that Jesus warns about in Mark 9. And endure suffering. Endure suffering patiently in light of the imminent return of Jesus. And in the meantime, don't grumble. If you're an Israelite out in the desert, don't grumble. Okay? If you are a disciple of Christ and you see someone else working as a disciple of Christ, don't grumble about them. Here's a good one. If you're suffering, be patient in your suffering and don't grumble. Or at least grumble to the Lord. The Lord will listen to your grumbles. No one else wants to hear them, really, but the Lord does. The Lord does. In all these things, do you see what I'm saying? In all these things, you're living your life in the meantime in your baptismal identity, what Christ has done for you and who he declares you to be. And by doing so, you're giving glory to God. You're living in the kingdom of God in advance. It's here really already because of Christ. Let your ending shape your middle as you live in the middle, even in the face of suffering. And by doing so, you're going to assist your brothers and sisters in Christ who see that. You're a witness, you're a testimony to them. My goodness, many of you are witnesses to me of that. People who look in your life, who do you see who lives like that? They're living for the end. That should inspire you. It inspires me. Assist your brothers and sisters to stay true to their faith in Jesus Christ, even in the face of suffering. Between now and then, suffering works to test and refine and strengthen your faith, and by the way, the faith of others in Jesus Christ, because of what lies at the end. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a very different perspective on life. The end determining the present. Your end determining your present. And when we know that the beautiful end that Christ has in store for us, it's a different life today. Live in that hope. Live in that new end that you have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.